We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Audacy put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Audacy. Visit ads.audacy.com.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
WIP. Twitter poll question of the day is brought to us by the Casino at Delaware Park Sportsbook. You can watch and wager on all pro and college sports online. DelawarePark.com, lottery agent for the Delaware Lottery. Must be 21 to play. Today's question, should the Flyers fire their head coach, Elaine Vigneault? A, yes, B, no. You can vote at Sports Radio WIP on Twitter. By the way, speaking of head coaches, guess what in the world is going on in college football right now?
Man, musical chairs.
Dude, John, what is happening
Mass
here?
Exodus, yeah.
I mean, for the love
Huge
of God.
Changes.
Oklahoma's coach Lincoln Riley leaves for USA. Notre Dame's coach Brian Kelly leaves for LSU. What in the world is happening to college football?
People are getting paid, man.
People are getting paid.
That's what's happening.
Yeah, people are getting paid. And contracts are, you're able to get out of them. So, yeah. You know, they get out of
them. That's how they build the contract.
But it is how they build the contract. You know? Yeah, it's how they build the contract. It's just, it really, look, the Lincoln Riley thing, that certainly shocked me. The Brian Kelly thing stunned me.
Think about the step up for Brian Kelly. The step up going from Notre Dame to the SEC West.
Well, yeah, and just not having the restrictive nature of Notre Dame's standards holding him back academically.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that affecting. That's not real.
That's what?
I don't think that's as real as
you think that's is. Phony baloney?
Yeah.
And well, I don't know. I look.
All I know is he had a clear-cut path to the, you know, semifinals of the national tournament every year playing at Notre Dame. Now, like, everyone in that conference can come up and beat you. Like, they are really scary.
Yeah, but here's
LSU's competition every year. Like, think about the schedule.
I know this, but here's the difference I see it, and then we'll get right back to the calls. This is just my opinion. I could be wrong, but I don't think I am. The 15-year-old in America, the 17-year-old, LSU is cool. Notre Dame ain't cool anymore. Notre Dame was cool to the 17-year-old's grandfather and to a certain extent his father and mother. The 17-year-old doesn't care what happened to Notre Dame in the 1950s. He couldn't care less. LSU, cool. Notre Dame, not really cool.
That's not why you should take a job.
No, but it helps you with recruiting. Dude, LSU, I mean, they get the players.
Well, they sure do.
LSU and Alabama get the players. I just
think what I know is that every college coach, no matter where he is, if he's offered the job at Notre Dame,
I mean, it's stunning.
Like, he's going to drop everything. Like, that's still just like the premier job.
It really stunned me. It really, really stunned me. All right, let's go to the phones. 215-592-9494. John will take us inside the game. Something from that matchup the other day that stood out to him and what it means moving forward. Let's talk to Paul in Downingtown. Hey, Paul.
Hey, good morning, guys. That was a great segment with Mike Quick, man. You guys did a great job with him. It was just great fun to listen to.
Thanks, Paul.
But on to some less favorable things. I don't mean to be that guy that calls up beating a drum for Howie, but I just don't understand how he escapes culpability time in and time out. And he spent a little bit of time, you know, looking through the roster and looking at what the Eagles, you know, have done. And I was able to draw some positive threads back to Howie. I was able to draw some positive threads back to people who weren't named Howie, you know, the people that had an impact positively on this organization that Howie didn't have a handle on. The one thing I couldn't do is push off a lot of the blame. You know, Howie has his fingers all over everything that is wrong with this team. You know, everything that everyone's been complaining about, all the mistakes, that he's made manifested themselves on the field on Sunday. He is personally behind all of those failures. Everyone that we've been talking about, how he put all those people in line, he's the thing that connects them. You know, he's the one that dots those I's and crosses those T's. And I don't understand why we would get rid of coaches or players before we get rid of the guy that's responsible for all of it. You know what I mean? And you know, that's fine. We can sit here and talk about the good things Howie Roseman did. All GMs have done some good things. I'm tired of rewarding this guy and congratulating him for the things that he is supposed to do and giving him a free pass on all the crap that he does horribly. I'm just tired of it. I don't want this guy to be in charge of the next draft. I don't want him to be the one that helps to right this ship. And the more I look at it, the more I look at it, like, this team will never be right as long as he's the man in charge. It's like we have to cut off the head of the snake. We have to get rid of the poison in this organization. That poison's name is Howie Roseman, and I don't think it's even questionable at this point that he is responsible for a lot, if not all, of the ills that are besieging this team.
Here's what I'll say to you, Paul. So I agree with your assessment. He's responsible for a lot of the ills. That I agree with. What I disagree with you on is where I think you're coming from, which is that it's basically absurd to think that he can build it back up effectively because he did it once. I think he can do it again. I actually think we're seeing some pretty good signs of progress, really good signs over the last month. I mean, he has totally rebuilt the offensive line very impressively. Now, he didn't get
the best offensive line coach in the history of football in this organization. That's why all of the offensive linemen he drafts develop, because we actually have a guy that knows what he's doing. Best offensive line in all of football, that coach is right here in Philadelphia. That has a lot more to do with the success of that unit than the guy Howie's drafted. I have a feeling you can give that man below average NFL talent, and he'll coach it up to be average.
He's making Howie look better. He is, but there's also something to be said for having that guy work for you.
Stoutland is a Hall of Fame offensive line coach. If there was such a thing, he should be the first guy, no doubt about it. You know, first time he's eligible, he goes in. And he's an amazing offensive line coach. And, you know, he's covering a lot of Howie's mistakes.
Paul, give me a tearjerker movie.
Well, this is a little bit weird, but I cry every time. Saving Private Ryan, the old man in the cemetery, it gets me every time.
Yeah, it's good stuff, man. Paul, appreciate the phone call right there. John, are you for the Hall of Fame offensive line coach someday? Maybe an Art Shell, a Joe Bugle, a Juan Castillo to the Hall of Fame? Or dare I say it, a Howard Mudd.
Yeah.
Remember when Howard Mudd was going to turn things around here?
Did Howie hire Jeff Stoutland, or did Chip Kelly hire Jeff Stoutland?
Well,
Chip
so,
there you go.
Jeff Stoutland, yeah. For sure, 100%.
And what makes you say that?
He brought him from Alabama. Like,
well, I know he brought him from Alabama.
When Chip got hired. Chip hired him.
I'm looking at Wiki.
Well, I don't know. You're right. I mean, you might be right. I don't know who said, hey, let's get this guy. I don't know who said it.
On February 7th, 2013, Stoutland was hired by the Eagles to coach their offensive line under head coach Chip Kelly.
No, I know it happened.
You don't know for sure that it was Chip.
Well, I don't know. I mean, I love
I'm guessing it was Chip, former college guy, going and getting the best college offensive line coach.
James says it as if it's a certainty. I don't know.
Well, I believe you.
I think it was a certainty. I mean, it was implied that Chip hired his coaches then. Why would you assume that he didn't?
I don't know. I'm just telling you, I don't know who said, hey, that's the guy we should get. I don't know who said it.
I think Jimmy has a good chance that he's right.
He probably is right. I'm just saying I don't
think also think the caller, Paul, is a really good point.
What?
You know, I don't think Howie gets all the credit for drafting a great offensive lineman. Like, I think Jeff Stoutland is the reason that Jordan Mailata is who he is. I think, you know, same thing with Driscoll, these guys. I think it's development.
Yeah, but you can't
just
shortchange the GM in the process.
No, I'm saying he gets some credit, but it is, you know, less because of Stoutland.
Fair enough. All right. Tom in Abington. Yo, Tom.
Yo, fellas, how we doing today?
Doing all right, Tom.
All right, so I got Flyers, Phillies, and Eagles here. So Flyers, I think AV should be fired. By his own account, he's a dinosaur, and we all know that dinosaurs are extinct, and they're extinct for a reason. They need new blood at the top.
I mean, look, hockey coaches burn fast, and it just strikes me like the AV thing burned fast. He got a lot out of them, and it just I don't see how there can be any conclusion other than They're not charged
they're
up.
Tuning them out.
Yeah.
So the Phillies, I know everybody's up in arms with Scherzer going to the Mets, but don't you guys think that the Mets will somehow screw that up the way they usually do?
You know what, Tom? Honestly, no. I said to my buddy yesterday on the phone as a Mets fan, I said, listen, man, if these guys stay healthy, meaning those top two pitchers, I said, I think you can pencil yourself in for at least a wild card spot.
Yeah, but he's going to miss at least a full season of games in the three-year contract.
You know what? But that's 2 or 3 years from now. That could be their issue. He just finished third in Cy Young.
Yeah.
And DeGrom did just miss the season this past season.
Oh, no, DeGrom, yes. I'm just saying
with those top two guys, you can't.
I thought Tom was specifically saying Scherzer. Look, here's what I'd tell you, Tom. The Mets, about 15 years ago, signed Pedro and Glavine when they were both, you know, not what they had been. And they didn't get a ton out of either of them. I think they're going to get a lot out of Scherzer. He's older than those two guys were. Mm-hmm. But my God, man, this guy's still great.
Yeah, but it's still the Mets, and the Mets have a tendency of just screwing it up no matter who they sign. So that's what I'm banking on.
Say.
So for the Eagles, that debacle in the Meadowlands Sunday, it showed me two things. It showed me that Jalen Hurts cannot be a consistent passer in this league. I didn't know he was going to get exposed so soon against the G-men, but it happened right in front of our eyes. And it also showed me that this is just such a waste of a season considering we have probably the best O-line in football.
You know, that happens sometimes. I hear your point. I remember the 98 and 99 Eagles defense being really good, and it amounted to nothing because the offense was so bad. You're going to have that happen sometimes. And,
the last caller now, that Howie is a confidence man, con man. He needs to be gone. His fingerprints are all over this team, and they don't look good.
All right, Tom, give me a tearjerker.
How about Sophie's Choice?
So, boy, Sophie's Choice is a tough one as well. We're getting a lot of really good answers today. I don't know how we're going to vote. A lot of really good answers. All right, let's do what we do every single Tuesday at this time. Look back at the last game as we go inside the game. The X's and O's, something that stood out to John and what it means moving forward. Mr. Ritchie, what are you looking at?
Mike Quick talked about him. Patrick Graham, the defensive coordinator of this Giants team, he did a great job. And I'd been asking myself, can other teams do to us what the Giants did? The answer is yes. And the Giants secondary, man, I don't know if people realize how banged up they really were against us. Their starting free safety, Logan Ryan, was out with COVID. Xavier McKinney, number 29, was all over the place, just playing center field out there. And they had their strong safety, Julian Love, and their backup cornerback, a rookie, Aaron Robinson, playing out of position. Their starting cornerback, Adoree Jackson, didn't play in the second half with a quad injury. Their backup to him, Darnay Holmes, got hurt by Jordan Mailata when he hit him in the ribs after his interception. They had their third-string free safety and a practice squad strong safety, Stephen Parker, playing the second half. So the key here is it doesn't take a lot of talent to stymie our passing game. What it takes is a good plan, and they had that. And they had one excellent defensive player in James Bradbury. He's really good. He was really good. He can man anyone up, and they put him on Devontae often. And when he wasn't manning Devontae, they were zoning it while, you know, providing extra bodies, you know, extra help, you know, miraculously in the areas of Devontae Smith and Dallas Goedert. I'm positive Jalen Hurts didn't always know what he was looking at in this game, and that's part of why he looked so inaccurate. When he has confidence in where he's going and what he's seeing, he sets his feet. The ball is a lot more on target. Good zone coverage can look like man coverage. You know, guys know where they fit, and it's seamless. They man up their receiver and cover him when he's in their zone. And then, you know, you pass him off to the teammates because you know where they fit when necessary. The kicker here is our quarterback and wide receivers weren't good enough to understand what the defense was doing to him. And the guys who did it to them were a motley crew of substitutes for the most part. Not always the most talented guys. And we're about to face two defensively minded head coaches who will absolutely rip off Patrick Graham and do what he did to the letter. And I'm positive we can do a better job of throwing it and catching it. But if our wide receivers can't get open because they aren't savvy enough and experienced enough to know what they're even facing, and the quarterback is uncertain, we will fail at passing the ball.
Yeah, that's a problem.
We have to pray that we play from ahead against the Jets in Washington so we can focus on running the ball a lot. And the fact of the matter is the Giants just put an instruction manual on tape against us.
Wow. All right, to the phones we go. That's Inside the Game. John does it every Tuesday. A look back every Friday. A look ahead to the next matchup. Let's talk to Will in Northeast Philadelphia. Hey, Will.
Hey, guys. How y'all doing?
Doing all right, Will.
All right. Excuse me for the brain fart yesterday, man. I was, like, so upset. You know what I mean? Especially you, Frank. Say no.
I like that, Frank.
But, I really do believe, like, for Sirianni, man, he got to, you know, if it's on him, stop second-guessing everything. Stop trying to do too much, man. Stop trying to impress people. Just play to win. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And the whole thing is, like, you have to believe in your team. If you just last week talked about, we nasty. So just like with the Saints, prove how nasty you are. And I would have told my team right now, I don't think toward the end of the season, nobody can stop our offensive running. So we're going to run it until somebody stops us. You know what I'm saying?
Well, I agree with you, Will.
The other thing is, like, I'm not going to lie. In order for this team to, like, get great or be great, Hurst's going to have to start passing that ball, man. But these guys got to learn to run routes. They have to learn to run these routes, man. Because a lot of times when Hurst is scrambling, nobody don't know how to run no routes. That's why nobody's open when
that's different. Once he starts scrambling, they got to break off the routes and just try to, you know, make themselves available to him.
Yeah,
right.
That's different. But, you know, well, I'm just
– It does become a scramble drill an awful lot.
An awful lot. And, of course, he was injured the other day. And, you know, they didn't even pass much in the second half. And that might have been – I mean, look, they were down and they didn't pass. That's one thing that I actually thought was good, that they stuck with or got back to the run, however you want to phrase it, while they were losing. They weren't losing by a ton, but they were losing by enough that some coaches would panic and say, let's pass. Sirianni didn't. But, I mean, the biggest takeaway to me of the whole game isn't that Nick Sirianni, you know, his job should be called into question or anything else. The biggest takeaway is Jalen Hurts is not that good a passer, period, end of story. And his tenure as the Eagles' starting quarterback, while it will continue, let's not act like it's got a 5 to 10 year life cycle. He's got to do so much more to prove that he should be the Eagles' franchise quarterback, because right now he's not.
And real quick, I think Sirianni on the offseason, he got to toughen up, man, with this team, man. He got to lay it down, man. Like, I understand he's trying to build a relationship, but the relationship you need to build is being a coach, man.
Well, I agree with. Will, give me –
It's going to be really tough.
Give me a
team. It's going to be really tough to clamp down now with the, you know, disciplined approach when you started out being the buddy-buddy guy.
Will, give me a tearjerker.
I don't know if y'all ever saw this movie, but it's an Adam Sandler movie, a great movie. If you haven't seen it, watch it.
Thanks,
man. Uncut Gem.
And what's it called, Will?
Oh,
Uncut Gem.
You got it, man.
I haven't seen it.
All right, my man. You got it.
A lot of people really liked it, though.
Boy, I haven't seen – is it a new Sandler movie?
Kevin Garnett's in it. It's about basketball gambling.
No, I don't know that. And it's a tearjerker?
It came out a few years ago, like 2 years ago or something like that.
All right, well, basketball.
It didn't get nominated, but it was in, like, Oscar talk and all that stuff.
Sounds like a hoot.
Yeah, I don't think it's a hoot.
No, it's not a hoot?
No.
No? I mean, normally Sandler movies are a hoot. I mean, you don't think it's...
No, it's not a serious comedy. It's not a comedy. Yeah.
Not a comedy. All right. Hence the tearjerker. Fair enough. Let's go to Dave in Wilmington. Yo, Dave.
Hey, guys. How are we doing today?
Good.
Doing all right, Dave.
First of all, I am sick and tired of hearing we rushed for 200 yards. Obviously, that 200 yards wasn't enough. Mm-hmm. It doesn't matter how many yards we did, as long as we win the game.
Well, yeah, and honestly, Dave, I'm annoyed they rushed for 200 yards, meaning it's proof that they should have rushed for 280 yards.
Exactly.
And they could have.
And they could have. Then they would have won the game. Like Sirianni's first quarter and a half approach would have made more sense if when the Eagles started running it, they ran it ineffectively. And I'd say, you know what? It didn't work. So I guess it's okay they passed a lot in the beginning. When they ran it so effectively, it was further proof of how stupid Sirianni's approach was to start the game.
So with that being said, I want Sirianni gone because he does not make his own decisions. He didn't rush the ball in the beginning of the year. That means he was pressured to run the ball, and that means he's indecisive in his decision-making.
Maybe. I don't know that to be true. A lot of people assume it to be true, Dave. I'm not sure there. I'm really not. Dave, give me a tearjerker.
Well, my first two are taking E.T. and Sophie's Choice.
Yep.
So I'm going to go with Million Dollar Baby.
Million Dollar Baby. Man, the only...
Your favorite movie, Jeff.
I hated that movie so much.
I thought it was good.
It stunk. It was so overrated.
Best picture.
Don't even get me started.
Just saying.
I mean, she apparently doesn't know
overrated.
How to fight. She doesn't know how to fight, so Clinton, Morgan Freeman got to get in there to help her. But she's fighting in the Staples Center in the beginning of the movie. What? Take a cue from Rocky. Rocky doesn't know how to fight in the beginning of Rocky. Where is he fighting? Not in the Spectrum.
Well, it's female.
Not
boxing,
in Madison
not,
Square
it's
Garden.
A different world,
James,
my friend.
There's no way a girl that doesn't know how to fight would be fighting on the undercard
Here's
in
my
the
question.
Staples Center.
How would you know?
Because I've been to the Staples
Center. Oh, really? You know I've about been, female boxing?
I've been in the Staples Center.
Okay, what does that have to do with female boxing? How much you know about female boxing and how hard it is
I know
to...
Frazier's daughter and Ali's daughter fought each other.
good.
I know that. Yeah. I know Ali's daughter won. I also know there are not as many female boxers as male boxers.
Yeah, there you go.
I also know that if you're going to
be
into that,
how about
that
this?
Would be
I also know if you're
going to
be in the undercard of a boxing match is at the Staples Center, you're going to have some chops. You're not going to be like Rocky in the beginning where you stink, and she apparently stinks and she's fighting at the Staples Center. Don't even get me started because by the way, I got in my holster today. A double pet peeve. I haven't even rolled this one out yet. And it's while watching the Eagles game. I'll get to that in a little bit. A double pet peeve from the same issue. And I'm curious to see if you guys agree or disagree with me. We'll get to that shortly. Chris in Ocean City. Hey, Chris.
Hey, what's going on, guys?
Hi, Chris.
I think you're being way too hard on Sirianni. I'm actually kind of surprised that you're being so negative on him. I mean,
you talking to me or John?
To John specifically. But, yeah, I mean, it's one of those things. As a coach, you need to be able to have confidence in your quarterback to be able to throw the ball against one of the worst pass defenses in the NFL. And then just because it didn't work out right away, he did switch to the run, but it also requires the other players on the team to make plays. I mean, it still relied on 3 drop touchdown passes, 1 called back. And I know that John's been saying that that's been a really hard catch to make for Greg Ward in the end zone. I mean, maybe that's a hard catch for a fullback, but if you're an NFL wide receiver, you got to be able to come down with that, man. And so I just really think that we're being too hard on him.
You really think this loss is an outlier and that there aren't other reasons for concern?
Well, I just think that it's a results-oriented league, and there were so many inflection points in this game that if just one thing happened differently, the entire tenor of this conversation would be different. And I just feel like last week people started talking about Sirianni is coach of the year, and now
I wasn't.
Listen, nobody.
Your producer was.
I don't believe that. James, were you talking last week about Nick Sirianni should be the coach of the year?
No. Elliot Shore Parks brought it up on our show, and I said no.
Yeah.
I said if he wins out, maybe. If they're 11-6 and he wins out and they're like a 10-game winning streak,
sure.
There might be discussion about it, but absolutely not.
Yeah.
No, that's
Chris,
not what I said,
come
Chris.
On,
come on, pal.
Well, now I just feel silly.
Well, you
All right,
should.
I'm
I mean,
gonna,
you I'm... should have felt silly before that, but that's a whole other matter.
I'm just convinced he's so far behind the curve instead of ahead of it, and that's been the case all along. I mean, it took him and his staff a month and a half to figure out that this team needed to run the football. And then as soon as, I don't know, you string together 2 wins, you decided that it's time to, you know, experiment with new ideas. Like, I want him to just go out and win. And I don't know that he's the guy to really diagnose the proper way to do that.
All right, Chris, give me a tearjerker.
Yeah, I'll say the original Land Before Time animated movie when Littlefoot's mom dies.
All right, you got
it.
Yeah,
that's
Chris,
a good answer.
Appreciate the phone call, man. Coming up to 76ers. We haven't even talked about him yet. Played a game last night. They won. They survived the game. But let's be real. That was not inspiring. I mean, they played a team that was, what, 4-17 coming into it?
They're horrible.
They're horrible.
Like, it was so evident.
Yeah.
That is a bad
basketball team. Let me tell you how bad the Orlando Magic are. You go to Market Street, you find 100 people find 100 people, not random humans. You find 100 sports fans, and say, name for me an Orlando Magic player. 100 people, less than 50% can name
Fultz
a player.
Fultz is the only one you could even think people might say because of the connection.
I really believe you ask 100 sports fans, I bet you less than 30 people out of 100 wouldn't be able to name an Orlando Magic player.
I think it's less than that. Take Fultz off the board, I think it's like one. I'm not even kidding. Only know the guy they just drafted, Jalen Suggs. Past that, there aren't many.
And the Sixers barely won.
Wendell Carter's there and stuff.
We'll talk about that next because there is cause for concern with the Sixers. We'll address that next. Jota, Cameron, John Ritchie, your phone calls all show on 94 WIP.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.